Is that, there we go. The batteries are dead up here. I mean, we've been talking about Genesis chapter 24 and how God intervenes in our daily lives. And we talked about, Jesus said, an adulterous and wicked generation seeks after signs and wonders and things like that. And that's because God is sovereign and he's involved in our everyday life. So every day is miraculous. If we look, if we watch, God is moving and God is working in every single circumstance in our life. And these messages are about learning how to lean on the unseen hand of God and looking for God to be at work. And we see that exemplified in the life of Abraham as he comes of old age. He just lost his wife. And he realizes his son is getting up there in his 40s. And God made a promise to him, is through your seed, all the generations of the earth are going to be blessed. And so here we come to chapter 24, Abraham making provisions. As we started out, we only got through a few verses last week, the beginning of chapter 24. But we talked about how do we lean on the unseen hand of God. And we talked about when we lean on the unseen hand of God, we'll not compromise. So remember when Abraham was given his servant instructions to go look for a wife for his son Isaac, he said, I don't want him to go back because God has a promise. But I also don't want him to marry a woman that's a Canaanite because I want a woman that comes from a different place that she can come here and we can teach her to follow God as well. And so if Isaac were to take a wife from the Canaanites, what do you think would have happened? Mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they have a pretty strong pull. And they worshipped all these idols and things that were not of the Lord. And so if he had taken in a wife from that, from the Canaanite culture, Isaac would have slowly slipped into pagan idol worship. So he said, no, we're not going to have that. We're going to take her away from mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, bring her into another land so that she could learn to worship the one true God. And so we talked about if we lean on God's hand, if we're looking for God to be at work in our life, we will not compromise. We will not take shortcuts in our walk with the Lord God. And we ended by talking about what was God calling you to leave behind or give up. And we talked about when we lean on the unseen hand of God, we'll be filled with God's word. And we talked about how Abraham and how he said in verse 7 of chapter 24, the Lord God in heaven who took me from my father's house spoke this to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. He had that memorized, the promises of God. He thought about them often. And so a person who leans on God's unseen hand is looking for God to be working sovereignly in their lives is always filled with the word of God. They simply learn to trust in the providence of God as they study and memorize the scriptures. And then we ended on, when we lean on the unseen hand of God, we'll take action in faith based on God's word, even if the results don't go as we planned. And so we find in verse 8, he says, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be free from this oath. So his servant made an oath. He got up to go. In verse 10, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. Now begin reading in verse 11. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let your jar down that I might drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you've appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. And then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So he quickly, verse 20, emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence. Verse 21, I want you to notice this. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Please tell me whose daughters you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen." When the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out toward the man to the spring. As soon as she saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah's sister, "Thus the man spoke to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I prepared the house and a place for the camels." So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels. And there was water to wash his feet and the feet of men who were with him. As we move on through this journey of how do we lean on the unseen hand of God, this passage lays out a man who was a servant of Abraham. Many believe he was Eleazar of Damascus, so he was probably up there in age. He had been with Abraham a long time. And so he comes and shows up. But notice his relationship with God. That's what I want to point out today. When we lean on the unseen hand of God, we become very close in contact with our speaking with God. It becomes almost very natural. And so a person who leans on God's hand will constantly turn to Him in prayer. And it is a relationship that grows deep. On Wednesday night, as Christy shared, we talked about the difference between doing and being. When we are being transformed to become more like Jesus, as we spend time getting to know Him, as we take the Word of God as not just a book to be filled with head knowledge, but to meet and encounter a Savior and enjoy His presence. As we look at prayer as not just something that we do at church or sing a worship song or take communion or even listening to the Word of God right now as something that we just do, but it's something that I am encountering a God, the true, one and only true God, Jesus Christ. And we become familiar and intimate with Him. And that's what the servant was like here in this text. And I want you to note that when he began to pray in the beginning of verse 12 there, he comes to the Lord. In verse 12 he says, "O Lord." He begins to talk and commune with God. And if you read down in verse 45 as he describes what's happening Abraham's relatives, he says, look what it says in verse 45, "Before I had finished speaking in my heart." So this prayer was not necessarily a rehearsed prayer. It wasn't a prayer he read out of a church book. It was a prayer that was out of his intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, I prayed what's on my heart because I was so close with God. A person with a healthy prayer life is spontaneous in prayer. You know, we sometimes worry about things when we come to God in prayer in our relationship with Him. Like, okay, we have to bow our heads and close our eyes. You know, that's what we did in the Christian school growing up. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And then the person that was praying would look around and say your name if you had your eyes open. You know, that sort of thing. And it kind of was a horrible thing. But talking to God, we just come before Him whenever we want to come before Him. Why? Because Jesus has made the way that we boldly come into the throne room of grace. It could be spontaneous. It could be on the spot. We don't even have to say amen at the end of our prayer because our lifestyle should be a prayer. Amen simply means let that be so, right? Or let it be done in a strong way. But you know, if we're talking and conversing with our dad, with our father, just on a daily basis, it comes from the heart. And that's what the heart of Abraham's servant was. So I want to give some characteristics of his prayer life here so that we can learn to become intimate with Jesus. So the first one found in the beginning of verse 12, a person with a healthy prayer life realizes that God is the one who gives success in anything. And if I were to ask who gives you success in everything in your life, every single person in here would probably say, God gives me the success. Because we believe that with our mouth. But quite often, when a problem comes up in our life, or we get sent on a scary mission, like Abraham's servant was sent to find a wife for his master's son, what a big responsibility. What is the first thing you do when something bad happens in your life or you get sent on a scary mission? Sometimes it's to go to our comfort. Sometimes it's to go to people. But if we're that close with God, God's here. He's present everywhere at all times. Now, to mention, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have Him in your life, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And it's just as much as saying, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, You are the one that gives me success in everything that I'm going to do. But instead, we often run and try to make it work out. Okay, He sent me to find a wife. All ladies, line up here. I'm going to go through a list of your qualifications. And He could have done that. Or He could have said, okay, let's see who the most beautiful one is that walks up to the well. Well, how do I choose? There's multiple ones that are beautiful. Instead, He goes, God, You are the one that's going to accomplish this mission. It's having an attitude of humility of heart that no matter what happens in our life, that we believe God's going to give us success. And then the last part of verse 12, a person with a healthy prayer life is not looking for God to work just for themselves. And that's what a lot of times our prayer life becomes. Lord, help me because I broke my fingernail today. Lord, help me because I'm not feeling very well. And that's good. And God wants us to come to Him with every concern He's cares about us. But a person that is trusting for God's sovereign hand to work understands that the picture is much bigger than just them. He was sent on a mission for his master, and he begins his prayer, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success and show love to my master Abraham. An intercessor is concerned for the big picture, for others. Someone who is close with God, it's not just about them and the little things that happen in their life. It's about how is God working to show love to others. Wouldn't that transform our prayer lives? You know, how many, don't raise your hands, but how many have those prayers that you say at meals and things like that, and it's usually the same prayer every time? Happens to me a lot too. Oh Lord, thank You for this day. Bless us with our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Or as one friend put it when I was young, he said, well, we just say, God, You're neat, let's eat. It kind of trivializes everything a little bit, but what would happen if we get God's heart of love and want other people to experience that deep love of God? Even the people that you don't like. Even the people that rubbed you the wrong way. At work or at school or getting God's heart. God, I want you to show love. God, show love to my master, Abraham. A person with a healthy prayer life doesn't just expect God to work for them, but to look at the big picture. A person with a healthy prayer life, well, I want to say that just as my wife is so concerned about the persecuted church, you might say, why are we doing this? We have our church here and we don't need to worry about that. They're our brothers and sisters. They're giving their lives all around the world for the gospel, and we support them and love them, and we need to come to bring them to our mind in our prayer and ask for God's love to be poured out upon them. How about a person with a healthy prayer life is willing and ready? Look in verse 13. He says, behold, I'm standing at the spring of water. He wasn't reclining or napping on the side. Oh man, that was a long journey. I'm just going to take a nap under this tree. He was waiting for God to work. He was ready and willing. And so a person with a healthy prayer life is ready and willing to be used, is in the stance, if you will, waiting. He was not in the God's chosen, frozen stance. He wasn't stuck in a pew. He wasn't stuck with his favorite habits, but he was ready. God, I'm here. I'm ready. Are you going to work? But here's verse 14, and this is really important. He prays this prayer. He didn't say, God, I want you to just zap a woman and send her here, and she's going to fall down and say, I am going to be Isaac's wife. Here's what a person that's really connected with God prays, how they pray. They pray for God to work through normal means. God, will you show up in my daily life? Because they trust God to do that, because He's a supernatural God. Every day is a supernatural day because He's sovereign over the universe. He says, let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I might drink. A lot of women would do that, right? And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Now remember, that was a process with those camels that he had that would have taken probably 3 hours. And the wells that they had to go down a lot of stairs down and carry the buckets up the stairs. That's the kind of wells they had during that time. We saw one of those it was a grain silo with all the stairs going down. And there was other such examples of wells in Israel. But he says, I'm looking for a woman of godly character who's a servant. That's a normal thing to ask God for, right? It's normal means. Wasn't anything spectacular or supernatural. And so young people, if you're not married and you're getting married and you are growing up and you will meet a boyfriend or girlfriend, know this. Look for somebody that has character and pray for somebody that has good character. You don't have to say, God, just knock me out and send them to me. Let them come with a club and hit me over the head and that's it. No, look and pray for somebody of good character. Somebody that's going to go above and beyond. And the fact, don't only pray for that other person to be that person that's going to water your camels for 3 hours and go up and down stairs for you, but that you are willing, pray that God make me willing to be that kind of person of character too. And Isaac was. So that's how you find a good mate. Like attracts like. So in order to meet somebody that's of good character, you have to be a person of good character as well. So in your prayer life with God, God, send me a wife. Send me a husband of good character, who's willing to be a servant and go above and beyond, and then God, make me willing to be a servant of them and go above and beyond, because that's what it takes for a marriage to stay together. See, a person with a healthy prayer life asks for guidance in regular ways through normal means. And sometimes we get bogged down, right, with our prayer life. We kind of say, well, I want to have these big, fine-sounding words and supernatural and, Lord, come with fire and signs and wonders and let this place shake and let this do this. And how about, God, would you come in my everyday circumstances and let yourself be, because I love being with you. He's that kind of God who loves to be with us every step of the way as we walk with him. How about a person with healthy prayer life in verse 14 to 16 is willing to trust God and watch for these God sightings? We referred to that last week. But he went down to this well and he watched patiently for what God was going to do in this situation. And he was quick to join God in his work because he didn't just sit back idly. And that's another thing that we think, that is, let go and we say, let God. And that's true, but a lot of times we interpret that, let go and sit in the pew and let God do it. But when God calls us, when he's working, he invites us to join him in that work. Like in verse 17, the servant ran to meet her. The one that offered, he ran to meet her and he says, please give me a little water. Now remember, he had just prayed, the one that I say, I'm going to be involved in this too, God. I'm not going to just sit back idly and just expect everything to be taken care of. I'm going to step out in faith and action. So a person with a healthy prayer life is ready to join God when he begins to work. Now, I want to say this with great caution, because when we come to pray, we might pray for something to happen and we think in our mind it's going to happen in a certain way. And so instead of joining God with his work, we think we're joining God in his work, but what we're doing is joining our own preconceived ideas and hoping that that will work, right? We've all been there and we've all done that. We've prayed these things and God is not working. There's no signs of God working. And we say, where is God? But say, well, since I prayed it, I am just going to go over here and this, I'm going to say to this woman over here, and God is not even working there. So first of all, we have to be looking for signs of his hand at work. And that's what I want to bring our attention to verse 21 here. This is so important. Don't miss this ever. In verse 21, he says, the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. So she already said, I'm going to give you a drink. But he waited to see, was she really going to water my camels like she said she was going to do? Oh, there's a whole lot in that, young people, as well. Is when God brings a mate in your life, a man or a woman, are they actually going to do what they tell? Oh, baby, I love you. And then they turn around and they go and they're in another relationship on the side in secret or something like that. Or, oh, baby, I love you. But then they say something really negative and mean to you, or they gossip about you behind your back. That's a sign of that's not a good spouse for you. But in this text, he said, okay, the servant was like, I'm going to wait on God. Let's see. Is this woman really a woman of character? I'm just going to sit and watch. She said she's going to water my camels. It's going to take about 3 hours. Let's see how long she lasts. In other words, is her character intact? And that's why I'm saying, young people, and even if you're older and you lose your spouse to death or something like that, you're in that place, don't rush. Wait to watch to see what their character is really like. Because you can't just find that out in a few dates. Right? I mean, we're good at making that, faking it, right? For a certain amount of time. We can go, wow, he's just the best thing ever. He's kind of abusive to his mom or talks back to his parents, but he's kind of overlooked that because he's so handsome. She's disrespectful of her father, but, oh, she's so beautiful. She cheated on her test at school. Oh, but she's drop-dead gorgeous. Wait and watch. Because if God is working in this, and you believed and you prayed in faith like this servant did, that God, you'll send me someone of good character, I make me someone of good character, God is going to come through and meet you where you're at. 25 gallons of water probably took about 80 to 100 ascents all the way down those stairs. Now, I don't know about you, but stairs is not a good workout for me because I get dizzy and I miss the step and I fall. But think about going up and down carrying a heavy bucket of water 80 to 100 times to feed these campers, spending over 2 hours to complete. She was dead serious. She was a woman of character. I'm going to do this. I'm going to honor this guy. I'm going to be hospitable. That's the kind of man and woman that God has called us to look for in our lives. And I want to say, if you're already married, oh, yes, Holy Spirit, you might be already married and you say, you know what, I'm trying to be a person of good character, but my spouse is not. He's asleep to me, she's asleep to me, talk is negative. Is not pulling their weight. Is really not alive spiritually. I want to encourage you in your prayer life. Don't run from them. Don't give up. But begin to pray and ask God, Lord, will you make me a man or a woman of character, even though my spouse is not? And because I can't rely on them, Lord God, I'm going to rely on you more and more and more. Because the way God designed marriage in Ephesians, when he says, husbands, love your wife, and wives, respect your husband, you really, truthfully, can't have one without the other. You can't have, your husband won't love you unless you have respect. And then vice versa. If your husband doesn't love you, it's hard to have respect. So here is where God has called you to lean heavily upon the Lord in his unseen hand and say, God, I'm respecting my husband. God, I'm loving my wife, but they're not responding back in the way that they should be. Will you grant me the supernatural power and grace to keep on? I want to encourage you with that today. Seriously, I know that God just dropped that in my heart right now. It wasn't a part of this written thing. But if that is you today, go to the Lord. Say, God, I need supernatural power. And you do. Because it's impossible in the human realm to be able to love a spouse who's disrespectful or to respect a spouse who does not have sacrificial love. And you need God's supernatural power now, and he will be there to give it to you because his grace is sufficient. That's what we sang about this morning. And that's the wonder of having this intimate, close relationship with Jesus. A healthy prayer life not only waits on the Lord and never rushes, but trusts God. Doesn't go on the run. Watches for a person of good character. Observe. Be good observers. But a person with a healthy prayer life has a lifestyle of worshiping God. And notice what he did immediately in verse 22. When the camels were drinking, after this three-hour process took place, he took a gold ring, bracelets, and he asked her who she was, and he found out it was, oh, it's sovereignly, it's Abraham's kindred. That's what Abraham sent me to go. Daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw. And then verse 26, he bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham." When God intervenes sovereignly in your life, gives you a job and provides a spouse and provides friends and provides a church family and provides these things that we have our daily needs, food. Oh, the first thing we ought to do is just turn it to God and say, "Glory, blessed be the name of the Lord, of Yahweh, the one true God. Thank you, God. It wasn't because I was at the well or I came to this well. It was because there is someone supernatural and sovereign with His hand involved in my life. Praise be to God." And I want to encourage you, young people, the old alike, create those moments at the altar, thanking God for intervening and moving in your life. See, a person with a healthy prayer life has a lifestyle of worship. In other words, they become good at recognizing when God is working. You know, we recognize a lot of times when God answers our big prayers, but do we realize and see how He's working in the people's lives that we've just witnessed to? Can we look for signs of God using opportunities? "Well, God, I asked for a spouse, but you didn't give me one until I was in my late 30s. That's my story. That may not be your story. Some of you maybe are more mature and more blessed and meet somebody earlier. But I'm glad that God had a perfect timing and has a perfect timing for every person in this room. But to give Him the glory when He works is God worked through normal means. But because He's a supernatural God who's always working, that makes every day supernatural. And I'm blessed with this, and I thought I was going to get through this message today, but nope. It'll be part three next week. A person with a healthy prayer life always impacts others. People will know that God is working in your life. Notice when Laban, and he's a character, we'll get into Genesis later and find out how he was a materialistic, money-hungry, greedy person. And we'll find out later. But he recognized too, even him, recognized her brother. And what did he come and say in verse 31? He says, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside?" Is that a normal greeting to say, "Come in, blessed of the Lord," unless God has been working in your life? I want to pray that all over in this room, that as we learn to lean on the sovereign hand of God, that people will begin to say, "Wow, you're blessed of God. Someone supernatural is working in your life. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you," because we rely upon the unseen hand of God, and people will notice and people will be impacted by that. And next week we're going to get into that whole impact and how God has called us to mission first. Because we find in the next verse there where they gave him food and he says, "Wait, before I eat, I'm going to give you what I came here to do. This is my mission." And then he begins to talk about the Lord. I'm going to ask if the worship team could come and my brother could come to the close in prayer today. Don't leave this place without coming before the Lord and saying, "God, I want to learn to recognize your sovereign hand. God, I want to become a man, a woman with a prayer life that's not just formal or religious, but a prayer life that's intimate with the one true God."
So last week, I stood in the back and I called somebody out. I don't know who it was. I don't know if you came or not. That's not my concern. My concern right now is that I did it wrong. And I want to apologize to everybody for that first and foremost. Because I thought I was calling out an individual, but I wasn't. I was calling out Christians and non-Christians alike in the fact that this altar, when we get the call to come to the altar, it's not just to get your salvation. It's not just to be saved. We should do it as Christians who are already saved. We should want to come up here to give thanks every single day. Now, we can't do it every single day. So in my mind, the way it works is we should want to do it at least every Sunday. We should. We should want to thank God. If you have a roof over your head, you've got something to thank God about. Young people, if you're sitting in this church today, you have a reason to be thankful because your parents think that God is good. That means that they think that He is what's best for your life. You have a reason to be thankful. So, with that being said, I'm going to lead the brigade and be at the altar thanking, thank you, my God, who does so much for me that I don't deserve. And if you want to, come join me. If not, that's fine. But we got to start listening more and start doing it.